There we go. So a lot of them believe in this equality, and they.
Oh yes.
So
yes.
That's the magnetism that.
Oh yes, that attract a lot of students and teachers and professors.
Let me ask you this: last time we spoke, you said a lot of your teachers were very sympathetic towards the cause. Did any of them that you know of, that you remember, did any of them suddenly disappear from school one day? And that you know of, did any of them?
No, not that I know of. Mm-hmm. But it happened. It happened that way. Some of them disappeared. Students, especially students in the province, the students in the city, they tend to stay in the city. But the students in the province, a lot of them join the Khmer Rouge. Now, I happen to read a few books about Cambodians. They tend to portray Khmer Rouge soldier as ignorant, uneducated, could not read and write. I agree to that, but you cannot just say, well, all of them cannot read and write. Some of them were students, some of them were teachers.
Some of them were monks too.
Right, yeah. Right, see? Because, and again, they all, of course, they all dressed in black pajama and red kroma, red and white kroma. They all wearing the same uniform, but it doesn't mean that they have the same level of education.
Right.
Now, we all know that Hu Yun and Hu Nam were educated in France much better than Sihanouk, right? Much better than Lun Nho. And Lun Nho himself, who ran the whole government, who based by American CIA during this period, did not have the education qualification to meet his position.
Did he even go to Lycée?
Probably he did. Probably he did.
Okay.
But again, as we came to America, we tend to portray Khmer Rouge as, I hate to use the word stupid, but we tend to look at them as stupid and ignorant and uneducated. I agree to a young soldier, 13 or 14. But again, a lot of them can read and write. We ran into people who cannot read and write. I have to say that during our trip from Phnom Penh to the countryside, we ran into Khmer Rouge who cannot read and write. But most of them could. They could read and write. Now, I don't know how much Hu Yun, Hu Nam, and Kisampong value education, but all the three girls were educated in France. Now, they must love education.
They were scholars.
Right, they were scholars. They got PhD from France.
Do you think for that reason, too, a lot of the people looked up to them and respected them because they did have this education, whereas Lon Nol and his group didn't. A lot of the population looked up to the three ghosts and said, yes, they do have education. They receive scholarship in France. Mm-hmm. Lon Nol has nothing like that. He doesn't have the credentials.
Right.
Do you think that attracts a lot of people?
No, to answer your question, no. It's the other way around. Like I said last time, I read Sihanouk's book. He stated in his book that, I don't remember that exactly, he said in his book that the three girls could not win the war without him. And he won his position back from Lun Nho. Therefore, he would allow the Khmer Rouge to use his name. Now, the Khmer Rouge during this time, the only Khmer Rouge leader we know was the three girls. Were the three girls. We didn't know Pol Pot. We didn't know that Sihanouk was one of them. We didn't know. When Sihanouk propaganda was aimed at the three girls, they were the Khmer Rouge. Kill them. They were the Khmer Rouge. They will destroy the country. This is Sihanouk. Again, if we go back to what Sihanouk has said in 1968, 1969, Sihanouk hate these Khmer Rouge people. Hate the Kisampong. Hu Yun. Sihanouk was the one who trying to kill the three girls, who tried to destroy the Khmer Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
But the Americans support the wrong person. American CIA support the wrong person because they believe that since Lono was the person who control over the army.
Yeah.
What's the word?
Military and the armed forces.
Right, everything.
The police, yeah.
Right. They believe that, as Americans believe that, if we support Lono, he's going to cause the coup d'etat, overthrow the CNU, which he did. Of course he had the army. Of course he controlled the army. Now, was he the one suited to serve as a president of the country? No. This guy can run the army, but he cannot serve as a president. And America make a lot of mistake on that. We saw it in Vietnam. We saw it in Nicaragua. We saw it any place. America always make mistake like that. And they still doing it. I mean, I'm not a big shot to say anything about American government. I love American government. But we support the wrong person.
Exactly.
We always do. CNU, who hate the Khmer Rouge, ask for support from America. Americans say, well, CNU playing two cards. He's asking for Russia and asking America. Well, he was in trouble. He need help. He came to America and Americans say no. Who else is going to turn to?
Right.
It's natural he's going to turn to the communist bloc, which was Chinese during this time.
Okay.
So when you ask me to describe the Khmer Rouge soldier, you have to see a bigger picture, not just, well, the only person I see is the one I cannot read and write. And a lot of people say that. A lot of people put that in their book. And please, try to realize that a lot of students volunteer to the Khmer Rouge. And to answer your other questions, when you say that if people attracted to Khieu Samphan Hu Yuen Hu Nam because their education, no. They were not well known enough. People attracted to Khmer Rouge because CNU. Now, as we all learn later now that the war was not intense until after 1972, until CNU say, okay, you Khmer Rouge, you can use my name, and win the war. And that's a war when Khmer Rouge become popular, a lot of common citizens, a lot of peasants support the Khmer Rouge because they believe that CNU brought them peace and harmony in the past. Now, CNU would bring them peace and harmony in the future. And since CNU, Lono was so corrupted, American dollars go into his bank account and never reach into other
people.
And again, we support the wrong person. We always do, you know. We always believe that our money and our weapon can win the war. We always believe that. That's what happened in Vietnam.
Yeah. You know, that's history. That's American history.
Right.
Let me ask you this. When your family and all these other families were being kicked out of Phnom Penh and told you weren't allowed to go back, what was the rumor going around at this time? What were people saying?
The rumor?
Yeah, what was the rumor? Because here the Khmer Rouge had told everybody, you have to get out because of the bombing, which never happened, of course.
Right.
But what was being said at this time?
The rumor.
The rumor.
Well, what was said is that the rumor, I guess the rumor is just exactly what we were told by the Khmer Rouge soldier, that the Americans going to bomb the city, the Americans going to just destroy the whole city. And the rumor itself was that, it's just positive and negative. We the one who optimistic about the countries was saying that we may have to go out of the city only a few days. Now, after we stay in Chimanapur, we learn that a few days have passed. It's gone to a few weeks. And now we learn that what the rumor or what we were told in the past was not true anymore. Now, this is a few weeks later, and now you don't have anything with you. You left your home behind. All the city folk are out here now.
Were people getting scared that you could see, or what was people's mood at this time that you could, of what?
Uncertain. Because we were told that we could go back, and now we could not. We were told that it would be bombed, the city would be bombed, and it was not. And people just don't know what to tell them. We had to tell them.
What were your parents, from what you recall, what were your parents?
After a few weeks, after the second week, my parents, you know, like, eventually the hope that they could go back to the city less and less and less, to the point that they said, well, food is running out. Now, the first few weeks, money was still, people still do the bartering, you know, trading, like food for chicken for something else.
Yeah.
We do that. People have fish come and, you know, this is still a love for the first few weeks when we were in Chimanapur. And that's how we survived for 3 weeks. Of course, nobody making any money during these 3 weeks. But money become less and less and less valuable. We learn one day after the other that money is getting less valuable. And then it's come down to, well, our clothes for food now, you know. And how much longer can we keep this? Yeah. Our jewelry go for food now. How much longer can we do this? So it's to the point that, you know, the Anka will provide you something, but rice. They provide you rice, but still not enough. We were told that, don't worry, you know, just keep moving on. And we didn't want to move on to the countryside. We want to stay here. But they would say, we were constantly told that keep moving on to the countryside. Along the way, Anka Lu will provide you food.
Did anybody ask who Anka Lu was, what this was all about?
We never questioned that. No, it does.
Okay.
At least my family never questioned that. What is it, Anka Lu, you know? Or where is it, you know? The word Khmer Rouge was used by Sino, I believe, the first person who ever used the word. That's
he coined the term.
Right, he coined it a term way back when in 1960s. And we, if we translate directly from the word, it's Red Khmer, red people. Not black, but it turned out that they bear in black pajamas. But we call them red. Khmer go home, mean red Khmer. And it was coined by the Sino. But I forgot the question. I get sidetracked.
No, you answered it. On your way to Prey Vang, why was Prey Vang the choice for your destination?
Well, it was a choice because of my father's birthplace. My father's birthplace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was born there. And Kampong Tabai is we call Srok Kampong Tabai. Province is like state. Srok is, what do you call it? What is modern state?
County or, yeah, a county.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so province, Prey Vang province is a state, province, and then Kampong Tabai is a sub-unit of province, and Pekai village is the place where we're staying, that's a subunit of Akapunta by county. Well, use the word county.
That's okay. But this was his birthplace then, where
right,
we were heading
right.
to.
No, Takai Village was not his birthplace.
Okay.
We went to his birthplace, I forgot the name of the village. But anyway, it's in Kampung Subai.
Okay.
Takai Village is also in Kampung Subai.
Okay.
I can't believe I forgot the place.
How long did it take you to travel from the one village to Prey Vang, where you were staying?
Okay, now, we stay in Tumampag, right?
Mm-hmm.
After 3 weeks, we decided to move on along the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
You look it up, what freeway it is.
That's okay.
The freeway move. This freeway lead all the way to Vietnam. It's across Prey Vang and then Swai Yang and then into the Vietnam.
Okay.
And I believe it's still functioning right now. It's still, people still use it. Anyway, along this freeway, after Chimampo, we move all the way to Net Lương. Net Lương is a place where it's been more met in the killing field.
Yeah.
Now, we still have our car until Net Lương.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Now at this time, close to Net Lương, the car was used as a storage place. Now, the purpose of the car was not a thing you ride in, but it's a storage, food, clothes, and we move on. We start the engine sometime, and sometime we push the car, and gasoline. We could not find any gasoline along the freeway. It came to the point that we close to Net Lương, and we ran out of gasoline a long time ago before we even get close to Net Lương. Anyway, along this way, we always stop a night or so and get some food. We were given food. Angkala did give us rice to eat.
Okay.
That's a good part of it. we got some rice to eat along the way, and we do some cooking. We stop and do some cooking, and then move on. The next day we move on. We travel on foot all the way to Net Lương from Chimampag. Now after Net Lương, after we cross the Mekong River to the other side of the river along the freeway, when we cross, we don't have any car or anything anymore now. This is the place where we carry everything on our shoulder.
Hmm.
A lot of people did it. I mean, it's not just our family did it. So when we look back, we can say, well, it's not just us who did it. A lot of people. Other people did it.
So you had to abandon your car then?
Yes, yes. And we learn, as we travel along this freeway, we learn that the discipline or the regulation will reinforce more strictly. Like what we should have and what we should not have, what we should tell them who we were and all of this. We learn through rumor, the traveler, the city folk who travel with us, we learn that it's not a good idea to tell them who we, you know, exactly who we were.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned all this along the way.
So, when you were traveling on this freeway, was it crowded or?
No, not anymore. From Chimampag to Net Lương, it's not anymore crowded. You know, like bumper to bumper, or everybody walking in the same time. This like, we choose to travel when we feel like it, but we have to keep on moving. I say we choose to travel when we feel like it. No. Oh, but we can rest. What I'm saying, we could rest. Like we get tired and we took a nap and before we move on.
Did you see a lot of Khmer Rouge at this time? I mean, you know, from time to time.
Right. We meet them. We meet them. They were not dangerous. You know, they do their own thing. We travel, we walk, you know, we get scared. I mean, of course these people were strangers to us and they have guns and they can kill us anytime they want to. We were scared, but not to the point where we don't want to see them, we have to escape from them. No. But we can see them and walk past them. And when we meet, like from one place, when we need food, we ran out of food, we ask them, they have their poles, you know, like along the freeway they have poles and little places where we can go and ask them for food. I still make myself sound so nice about the Khmer Rouge. No, we know that they're dangerous, but at this time they provide us food to eat. I want to clarify myself that despite the fact they gave us food, they were nice, but only to a certain degree.
Sure.
They took order. We have to understand now that they took order, and there's so much they can say, there's so much they can tell us, and so much they want to give us.
But they did give you food.
Of course. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any food. We would starve on this freeway. Mm-hmm.
But when your family was traveling, you were walking, were there other families that
yes.
you could see?
Okay. Yes.
They were along with you.
Yes. The freeway is not like quiet. People travel.
A lot of people going
yeah.
out.
And a lot of silly folk, when they decide to rest, they rest along the freeway. They don't go too far away from the freeway. They stay along the freeway.
So how long did it, from the one village to Prai Vang?
Okay, now from Trampo to Nat Luong, right?
Yeah.
It take us, I don't remember the exact how many days, but...
About a week or...
Yeah. And again, from Nat Luong to Kompong to bike, it's about a week too, because we walk. And it was a terrible walk.
How was your father at this time?
Oh, he's healthy.
He was able to walk?
Yeah.
Is he carrying stuff too?
Well, not much. I mean, he was healthy. Again, nobody carrying a lot anymore now. I mean, from Trampo to Nat Luong, yes, he still carrying something. But from Nat Luong to Kompong to Mai, we don't have much to carry. We did not have much anymore. A lot of things we barter for food.
Barter.
But we trade for food and to eat and a lot of jewelry we spend, you know, just trade with the people who some of the people who can do the fishing, they go into the pond and get fish and you know, we need to use fish and we cannot fish, so we use our calls to trade with those. And again, along this freeway, it's not like dead quiet freeway. People reside along this freeway too, and we can always go into the residential area and, you know, ask them.
Were these old people? Or these
yes,
people?
They were old people.
They were old people.
Right.
What was the
interaction?
Well, yes, but what was the attitude of the old people towards the new people?
Along this freeway, it's not that bad yet. Especially from Trampo to Nat Luong. Well, basically, not many people stay along this because this is a constant war place. People stay, but these people were aware of what's happening in the city too. They are not quite ignorant about the city lifestyle, so they didn't treat us strangely. They treat us not nicely, but you know, they treat us normal.
What was Nat Luong like?
Nat Luong?
Yeah, what did you see there?
It's a word. Devastating. It's a war zone. I remember crossing this place that was a lot of... Well, to see a real picture, it's like in the killing field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, building for and after the bomb and not many people stay there anymore at this time when we were traveling. The only people I still remember seeing that move is the Khmer Rouge soldier girls and you know, the female and male soldier who stay there.
Mm.
But the reason I'm not many that I knew of during this time.
Mm.
It's really like a dead place now, dead town.
Did your family stay there overnight or anything like that, or did you move on? Just
I think we move on. No, we didn't stay. I think we spent the night on the other side. East. I don't remember how they leave about east always. I think on the east side of the river, maybe cross the river. Now the transportation to cross the river was provided by the Angka Le.
Oh, okay.
That, what do you call it? The ferry?
Ferry, yeah.
Yeah, ferry boat carrying people back and forth.
Oh.
We were on that beach.
Did you have...
No, we didn't have to pay.
You didn't have to pay.
No, the Angka Le provided.
Okay.
Free. You know,
okay.
Like, from Duan Po Tien Leung, we learn a lot of new things. It's free to us. You know, like free food to us. Free transportation to carry, to help us from place to place like that too.
Well, when the Khmer Rouge, you were stopped by the Khmer Rouge or anything like that, who did they speak with? Did they speak with your father or your brothers? Or
my father.
They spoke with your father.
Yeah, my father. They will ask, what's your name, where you come from, and you have any identifications that we can look at. And a lot of times we say no. And it's very fortunate too at this time, because my father was not any government officials or anything, big shot and well known or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's a common citizen who make a living through his sweat, you know.
That's right. How was the trip from Mek Leung to Krai Vang different from the place you stayed before?
Chibampo.
I'm going to get back to you straight.
From Chibampo to Mek Leung, from Chibampo to Mek Leung is quite different from Mek Leung to Kampong Trabai. Kampong Trabai is the county of Krai Vang.
Mm-hmm.
You know. The very different is getting quieter. And not so many people travel anymore, because people tend to spread out into the countryside as they travel along. But most city folk move on past Mek Leung to Kampong Trabai, to Swairing, because Kampong Trabai is part of the county in Krai Vang province. It's a place where it's known to grow a lot of rice. It's number two after Batamong province. That Batamong, we all know, is the best place that produces the most rice. The number two is Krai Vang. And there's a very reason why we decided to move on to that place, because we said, well, that's a place where we can have food to eat. Now, at this time, you did not ask me, well, what is the hope to go back to Phnom Penh? None. I mean, we were, this is time where we face chaos now on what's going to be next. The only thing that we want to know next is, when are we going to get to my father's birthplace where we can meet our relatives? And we did. We met our relatives. They resigned that place.
Were they the old people now?
They were the old people.
Okay.
And the first time was good. I mean, it's good to see your relative for years, you know, you haven't seen them, and they treat us nicely. And the bad time came later, when we settled down. This is like a few months later, after we get to my father's birthplace.
You didn't settle in his birthplace, though.
We did. We tried to stay there. We decided to stay there.
Okay.
That's the place where I lost my father and my first brother. Now, that's the time we decided to move on. Because we were told by his relative that it's not a good idea for him to stay in that place. But my father would believe that, well, this is the place where I was born. I know my hometown, my village. I know my I know my friend, my brother, my sister in this village. Yeah. Where else should I go? And this is the place where I left the city to be here. I didn't choose any other place. You know, again, when you travel from Chimampo to Nelun, you still have a lot of choice, a lot of options to choose where you want to go. And my father was informed that it's not a good place for him to stay.
The relatives had told him that then?
Yes, yes. Despite the fact that he has a lot of relatives there, a lot of friends, at the same time, it was known that he get him in, we used to live in the city.
Yeah.
And he involved in all of this politics that he'd done in the past. He was known about that too. He was informed not to stay. It was suggested not to stay by his relative, his brother, and